Well, let's go into the word this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we here? Matthew's Gospel 28. Let's start again. It's been an interesting journey, I believe. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's what authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says, go ye therefore in that authority, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now we emphasize it in verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew's Gospel 16, we've read these two scriptures side by side in the last few weeks. And we're trying to pay attention to what is God doing on the earth. What is God doing on the earth? And we said that God is building a called out people. We said that God is building a community. So Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You know the context of that already. And I say unto thee, that thou art beaten, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. So what is Jesus doing? Jesus is building his church. And if you listen to me on Wednesday, we started looking at a very interesting narrative. Well, it was a very passive narrative we've taught extensively in years back. We went to Genesis chapter 1 to see in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Remember that on Wednesday? And we went all the way to Revelation 21 to show that the heaven and the earth is a new Jerusalem that God is creating. So when the Bible says God created heavens and earth in Genesis chapter 1, it's actually more of a prophecy. It's what God wants to do on the earth, right? And how would God do that work on the earth? Verse 2 now says there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be what? Light. But before then, the Bible says the Spirit of God what? Moved. How does the Spirit of God move? When saints move. Are we together? Right? So the Spirit of God is not breeze. Amen? Yeah? The Spirit of God is not breeze. Are we together? Let me tell you something. When the Bible says that God breathed in the nostril of man, or John chapter 20, when the Bible says Jesus breathed on them, and they said, receive the Holy Ghost. He did not blow breeze. Yeah? When the Bible says that God was walking in the cool of the day, cool of the day doesn't mean shivering. And there was breeze. That's not cool of the day, right? That's the same word used for the word spirit. You get that, right? So when you go through Genesis, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep. Don't think of there's large body of water. No, just say, then do not ask, what's happening? That's the spirit. Watch. You see, this thing sounds funny, but this is the reality of a lot of people. Are we together, right? See, so you know, when we say, when I was growing up, we used to sing this song. It says, let the presence of the Lord come down. You know, I'm going to sing that song. Let the presence of the Lord come down. Let the presence of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the presence of the Lord come down. Yeah, beautiful song, lovely song. Yeah? But in light of knowledge, how we sing that song, well, so we can sing that song in God's power. Really. Yeah? But you know that when we say that the presence of the Lord come down, we're expecting a believer to act. Are we together? Yeah? We're expecting a believer to act. Yeah? So really, a lot of us have that ideology on the Spirit of God is breeze. No, the Spirit of God is not breeze. Are we together? The Spirit of God is not breeze. So, how is God building his church? We went to Revelation chapter 21, when it says, John says, I beheld a new heaven and earth. You remember that? And John now says, there was no more sea. Praise God. You should listen to that Wednesday's teaching again. I compressed hours of teaching in the first 30 minutes. Yeah? Go back and listen to that teaching again and pay attention to it. But for today, we're going to continue as well what we finished on Wednesday. We're looking at supernatural relationships, right? One of the things we started seeing is that by the work of the Spirit, God is calling men into the family of, into his family. God is calling men into his family. So when the Bible says the Spirit of God moved, in that moving is the building of his church. Remember, we are all bricklayers and we are bricks, right? Remember that teaching? Yeah? We are bricklayers and we are brick in the work of the Father. And we're together. We are those who have been established, you know, by faith, by believing the message of the gospel. And as well, God counts on us to what? Build more blocks. Build more people. So, let's go right into what I want us to be looking at today. Supernatural relationships. Supernatural. We've looked at this for a couple of weeks right now. I was starting looking at, who did we first look at? Paul and Barnabas, is it? Paul and Barnabas. Right? Paul and Barnabas. And what did you say about Paul and Barnabas? Let me summarize it for you. We saw Paul consented to the death of Stephen. We saw Barnabas asked for. We saw their lives were not even in any close proximity. However, God will minister, and Paul will have a vision, and God will instruct Ananias to go what? Lay hands on Paul, and Paul will receive his sight, and he will say, I've called him unto the Gentiles. Then you see that Paul and Barnabas, people in Jerusalem will be scared of Paul. Are we together? They'll be scared of Paul, and by extension, what now happens, they will now expect that we can't come close to this man called Paul. Because if you come close to this man called Paul, he's the one we knew who was killing people before. Mm-hmm. Is that together?
Yeah.
Are we together? But Barnabas will stay close to Paul. And Barnabas will start up a conversation and start a relationship with Paul. And Acts 13, you see Barnabas and Paul, there'll be a believer's meeting, Holy Ghost meeting. Right? And by the utterance of the Spirit, you will hear, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work wherewith I have what? Called them. Think of what I just showed you, right? Separate Paul and Barnabas for the work where I have called them. When Paul got the vision, and when Paul had the ministration of Ananias, there was no mention of another brother in the picture. But Paul and Barnabas will start ministry, stay together for a couple months, 2 years, and there will be a man called John Mark who had left them before. Is that true? Right, so John Mark left them before. Paul will say, this journey we are going for is not for the faint hearted. I don't think Mark should come. But I will say, I want Mark to be on the journey. Then Paul will say, No, I don't want Mark here. And they will have a strange contention. Barnabas will say, okay, you're going on your own, I'll go on my own. Barnabas will take who? John Mark. Is that true? Then Paul will take who? Silas. So Paul, Silas, then they will meet Timothy in Acts 16. Right, and Bible says, we saw on Wednesday who Timothy was. Timothy was one who. Elders had laid hands on him, and Paul had laid hands on him, and Paul reminded him, I hope you know that hands have been laid on you. So we're going to teach on the impartation. What happens when hands are laid? What happens when your pastor lays hands on you? How do you receive from your pastor when hands are laid? Every saint can lay hands, but there's a difference between an elder, your leader, your pastor laying hands on you, and how to, your slant of heart. Paul, you see Moses will write in the first 5 books, I talk about hands were laid on Joshua. When you come back a few chapters or years down the line, you see Moses report that Joshua grew in wisdom, and he will say, because hands were laid on him. Things happen when hands are laid. But when you look at that, the party believers, Paul and Barnabas, they will go their separate way, and Paul will have a ministry. Now, we saw that Mark eventually became one who Peter said is his son. Have you been following me?
Yeah.
Peter called Mark my son, Marcus. We saw that, right? Right? And that same Mark was the same person Paul will say to Timothy, well, I've fought a good fight of faith, right? I feel like my days are numbered. Well, let's assume that is what he's saying. Right, and he says, I want you to come unto me, go visit trials and pick some of my parchments, my books, right, and bring them to me. Right, and Timothy and Paul will say to Timothy, you see that man called Mark? You say, well, before I mention Mark, there's a man called Demas. He says, Demas have forsaken me because they love this world. Yeah, can a believer start fervent and love the world? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, because you're in the world, there's every tendency for you to fall prey of what the affections of this world brings. You see, there's something about the convenient Christianity that we are preaching in our world today. And it ought not to be so. We think Christianity is about the fine pictures, the fine places we meet, AC blowing on our head and we're blowing breeze. There are people in very strange, difficult, tight situations who are serving Jesus with a full passion. No convenience at all. Are we together? Right. But in the real sense, we'll teach all of that in days to come around commitment to the local church and how we get committed to the local church and how the church must not be the first to suffer for anything we go through in our lives. Well, Paul will say, Marcus, to Timothy, bring Mark to me. What did Paul say with that statement? He says, bring Mark to me because I know he is profitable to me. Paul did not just say he's profitable to me for me. He said, it's profitable to me for me for the work of ministry. So Paul did not abandon Mark. You see, let me say it to you today. You see, in God's palace, we are not a church that believes that when anybody leaves us, they've left the will of God. No. When anybody leaves us, they cannot serve Jesus. That's not true. Are we together? We ought not to have, and that is why it's one of the things I want to teach in the coming days. Never, ever, never, never, ever, ever be found saying things like, my church is better than your church. It's not a necessary conversation. My pastor, you know, I told you before a few weeks ago, I'm not the best pastor in the world. Don't call me. See, if you call me best pastor in the world on social media, you are not making me happy. Eh? Let me just stay ahead. You're not making me happy. Yeah, there is carnality to be doing best pastor, best church. No, the body of Christ is the body of Christ. God has men. Are we together? Right? So don't think anybody, see, don't think any member or anybody that is attending a church you are not attending is not growing spiritually. No, 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 no. That's too big of a thought to have in your mind that is not necessary. Yeah, don't think anybody that doesn't listen to me is not growing. Don't think you are the best person that knows the sound. No, it's a sense of pride when you need to have this kind of mindset. See, we are called into a community. The goal is that we all believe alike. However, people will have differences. The difference in doctrine doesn't make you more saved or less saved as a believer. So you must be able to have a sense of tolerating. So what am I saying this? Paul will even, see, Paul at the earlier stage of his ministry will say, Mark, don't come with us. Paul at the later part of ministry will say, Timothy, bring Mark. He is profitable to me. Are we together? You see, supernatural relationships or relationships, let me say this very clearly. Please note this in your notes. What we have majorly as believers, right, is the relationship we share with ourselves. It's a major thing that we have. The relationship we share with ourselves. That is why you must guard relationships against offense. Guard relationships against strife. Guard relationships against bitterness. These things exist. I'm going to share an example today. Thankfully, Paul was somebody who eventually will see that Mark can be somebody that is profitable. Are we together? That means there's every tendency that Mark grew under Peter. There's every tendency that the way Mark left at Pamphylia, at the later part of the ministry, he will not live like that. Why? Men grow. Are we together? Men grow. Men get better. Even me as a pastor, for instance, I grow. You see, there's sometimes I listen to what I taught 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm like, why were you saying it that way? When you don't have that moment in your Christian faith, you're not growing. Are you here? Yeah? When you don't look at 5 years ago, how you were visiting church, and you said you've done better, you're now more committed, you're now more consistent. Before you had 0 disciples, now you have 20 disciples. You had 3 disciples, now you have 50 disciples. You had 3 disciples, you have 7 disciples that are committed. Who their spiritual faith is hinged on what you teach them. And you should have those experiences. You should have those experiences of your disciple you taught 2 years ago. What you taught them, you can call them back and say, hey, see that thing I taught you, eh? Let's revisit it. But this is another way to look at it. And this, I think, is the right way to look at it. So you should have, so when I listen to myself from years ago, I'm like, what were you really saying? Yeah, what were you really saying? You know, so you must have that sense of, you know, giving people the room to grow because you two are growing. Are we together? Yeah, that's why it's called spiritual. There's something called spiritual growth. There is no believer that gets to the perfection of spiritual growth. Are we together? No believer gets to the height of spiritual growth. You don't grow to a point where you say, I'm not growing again. As long as you have breath in you, there's always something called spiritual growth. Yeah, it's an ongoing conversation in every believer's life till the transition from this earth. So if you're growing spiritually, it means you need to value the relationships that you have with people who are also growing spiritually. So don't cut yourself some slack and don't cut other people slack. Some slack, right? Are we together? Right? So people will do things to you, people will offend you, but you cut some slack. Right? In knowing, like I always tell you, in knowing who Absalom is, be careful you are not who Absalom. In knowing, you know the Ahithophel in God's palace. Sister Esther, Yusuf. Ah, hey. you yourself be careful of Absalom and who? Ahithophel. Let me look at one example this morning. Romans 15. Let me show you one this beautiful morning. Romans 15, verse 4. So relationships, you know. Now, can relationships be broken? Can relationships be broken? Are there people in your life who 5 years ago or 10 years ago, even 2 years ago, you not have thought they will never leave you? Are we together? Relationships can be broken. But I want to put it to you as well that relationships as well can be amended. You see, in our world, we have what you call cancel culture. You know what cancel culture is? The moment you do one thing like this, you're in trouble. Don't let anybody hear. Yeah? The moment you just mention, you know, you just do one thing, like just cancel you. And I'm like, these are, and the most, have you not found out that a lot of times, a lot of us that cancel the most are people who were not canceled? I mean, Christians. Together. Imagine God just saw you and just said, you. Even if Jesus died again, you can't be for your death. Your death is very deep. Are we together? Let me tell you for free, people will make mistakes. Are we together? People will make mistakes. People will make mistakes. The most important thing is, do you see your mistake as a mistake? See, let me tell you something. There are people in this world who will make mistakes. And in making mistakes, they will not admit they made mistakes. But they know in their heart they made mistakes. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Yeah.
There are people who in their heart, they know that this is a mistake. But they can turn it around, twist it well, twist it properly, and polish it. All together. So, look at Romans chapter 4, 15. Romans 15. Are you there? Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Are you there?
Yes.
It says, when, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were what? Written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might what? Have hope. Are we together? That we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. So it means that when we go back to the writings of the Scripture, we should see examples to learn from. And I've told you before, every example you see in the Bible is an example of who to become or who not to become. Are we together? That's why 1 John will tell you about loving not your neighbor and using Cain to teach it. Not as Cain. Not as Cain. So you are an example of who one should become. The examples of the Scripture are examples of who you should become or who you should not become. Are we together? See, when you read the story of Jesus and Judas, did Judas betray Jesus?
Yes.
Did Judas betray Jesus?
Yes.
Let me tell you, because Jesus is God, is there another name for what Jesus did? Wait. What did Judas do to Jesus?
Betrayed.
But Jesus is God. What is the name that the thing that Judas did to God? Is the same betrayal? Because it is God doesn't mean it's a spiritual name. Now, as believers, we see the example of Jesus still bringing Judas into the fold. Is that not true? You say, friend, do that which you've come here to do quickly. Or Peter who denied. What did Peter do to Jesus? Is that denial?
Yeah.
Did Jesus deny Peter? Did Peter deny Jesus?
Yeah.
Did Jesus, was Jesus denied? Yes, ma'am. Did the name change because it was Jesus?
No.
But did Jesus embrace Peter? See, we don't just teach as a church what Jesus did to embrace Peter. As a church, also we need to teach, don't be a Peter in that form. Are we here? Some of us want to always hear pampering story. You see, you know how Jesus, and that's where I think the balance needs to lie. Because we're now in a church, I found out we're in a church where we're teaching love walk, love walk, love walk, love walk. But we're not teaching, don't steal. And what now happens is we now have people who are stealing, and what we are all our people are hearing is love work, love work, love work. Who is? Do you remember the woman called Potiphar? You know Potiphar and Potiphar's wife and Joseph.
Yeah.
When did Potiphar's wife lie on Joseph? Was it a good lie? Can lie be good? Lie cannot be good. Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph. Do we see a good conduct of Joseph? Joseph did not come and say, I curse you in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. No, he didn't do all of that. But in teaching about how Joseph moved on, you need to teach about don't be Potiphar's wife. Because what will happen in local church is we'll have so many Potiphar's wives, and we're teaching to the Josephs, walk in love, walk in love. And to Potiphar's wife, she might not hear walk in love. What she wants to hear is, whilst you walk in love, do not lie on somebody. You get that? So, in teaching about Jesus, oh, Jesus is all embracing, all of encompassing. Yes, that's the example, the same to follow. So, we should teach, the thing should be, don't be a Judas, be a Jesus. But regardless of what somebody who does to you as a Judas does to you, whatever anybody does to you as Judas, you be a Jesus. But be a Jesus. But in being a Jesus, don't be a Judas. We must teach it though. We must teach it, because we'll end up having saints who can lie. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Are those the ones that died in Acts 5? Yeah. Now, is it to take the wrath of God? Peter killed them with his words and fear came on their hearts. But don't skip the point. Why are you lying to your pastor? Do you understand what happened? See, don't just look at Peter and say, Peter was not matured. His words were heavy. He caused them and they died. Don't stop there. It's okay to have that one. Right? But what happens to what? You see, that thing that will make you lie to your pastor. When you allow it to enter your heart, you are finished though. Them tell me not finished. Finished doesn't mean you are dead. You will still live a good life. But it means you've put your heart in a place where only the resurrection reality can redeem you. And you have to be very intentional to even receive of the resurrection reality. Are we together? So, we must be able to... The Bible says that these things were written for our learning. I'm saying this because I wanted to go back into time to see some things. They were written for our learning. Right? See, if Absalom and Ahithophel did what they did to David, to Jesus, what would Jesus do? I'd say it now with your full chest. What would Jesus do? He will still forgive now. You know that what Judas did to Jesus did not shock Jesus. He knew ahead. He didn't, you know, it's different to say it's Jesus. He knew in his heart. But he knew it and he said it. And he said it in the church. That means he knew. What Peter did to Jesus, he said it clearly. In fact, the conversation even now relate. It was not even an intense conversation between Jesus and the person. Peter was saying, God, fuck you. I would rather die. Me deny you over either dead or living body, anyone you want. And what we have, do you know what it is for someone to prophesy that you will deny him 3 times? You did the first one, your brain did not, it did not click. You did the second one 3 times. Yes, Jesus will say, well, but to you, I will tell you, in case they deny you, see Jesus' example, but we'll say to brother A and sister B. Don't betray like that, though. Are we together? If Ahithophel and Absalom joined together to do what they did to David, to Jesus, what would Jesus have done? Forgive me now. But in teaching you what Jesus would have done, we should teach you, don't be Ahithophel. Don't be Absalom. Look at Romans chapter 1. Let me show you something. It's just getting interesting. Go to the book of Ruth. All together. Some of you that are checking Revelation site, let us go to the main table of contents. Check for the table of contents. It's not a shame. I hope you know there's nothing wrong in checking table of contents.
Yes.
Is it not your Bible? Yes. You bought it now. Check your table of contents. Don't be flipping. Even me down. Okay. Root. Check table of contents. We should tell you page 127. Yeah, so I'm in Ruth. Hallelujah. The scriptures in your Bible where all of you like Ephesians, Colossians, raised together with him in the resurrection. My sins are forgiven. Mercy is calling my name, mercy alone. Look at the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1. So Ruth chapter 1, right? Now it came to pass, I'm going to have a long read, so let's go for it. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was famine in the land, and a certain man of where? Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of where? Please take note of that name, Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was what?
Elimelech.
And the name of his wife was who?
Naomi.
So Elimelech was married to who? Naomi. And he had two sons named what? Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of where?
Moab.
And continued living there. Is that what it says?
Yeah?
Look at the story. Elimelech, Naomi's son died. Naomi's husband, rather, died. And she had left her what?
Two sons.
And they took them wives of the women of Moab. So that means Naomi now said, my husband is late. Let me pick wives for my two what now? Are you following me?
Yeah.
Right? And they took wives of the women of Moab. And one name was what? Upper. And the name of the other was what?
Ruth.
So that's where Ruth came into the picture. And they dwelled there for how many years?
10 years.
And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Are you following? Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws. Who are her daughter-in-laws? Ruth and Orpah, right? And they arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of where? For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on their way to return unto the land of where? So they were in Moab, they were returning to Judah. Follow attentively, please. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each of her mother's house. Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as he has dealt with the dead and with me. As you have dealt with the dead and with me. What is happening? Naomi's husband died. Naomi found two wives for her two sons. Then the two sons died. Then the two daughter-in-laws were with Naomi. And Naomi says, well, I feel like life is getting interesting. Go to your mother's house. Follow attentively. Verse 9. The Lord grants you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. That means she expected that they remarry. Okay, yeah. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto their people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Don't forget, where is Naomi from?
Judah.
Bethlehem, Judah. Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay? He says, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? That they may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Logical question, Abby. Would you wait for them to grow? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and they wept again, listening to their weeping. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Ruth, listen carefully. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. Who's sister-in-law? Beautiful. And unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. What did Ruth say? Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will what?
Go.
And where thou lodgest, I will. And thy people shall. Wait, where is Ruth from? Where is Naomi from? Where is Ruth from?
Moab.
What is the Moabite saying to the Judahites? I will follow you. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Where you die, verse 17, I will what? Die. And there will I be what? Buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught be but dead parts thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Look at verse 19. So they went, the two went until they came to where?
Bethlehem,
Judah. Is that true?
Yeah.
And it came to pass that when they come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? Look at verse 22. Right? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of what? barely harvest. Stop there. What am I showing you? Wait, how many nations have we talking about now? Two? Judah? Judah, Bethlehem, and Moab. How many ladies have we spoken about now? Three? Naomi, Orpah, Ruth. Where's Orpah? She has gone. Where's Naomi? Naomi? Naomi is the mother-in-law of Ruth. Ruth followed Naomi. Are you following? Okay, go to Genesis 12. So it means Naomi was Bethlehem, Judah. Ruth was a Moabite. Genesis 12. Let me show you something very important about relationships. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. So who is God giving this instruction to? Okay, get there. So who did God give the instruction to Paul and Barnabas?
Paul.
Paul and Barnabas followed. Okay? So, get down to the country from a kindred and from your father's house and unto a where? A land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee and make thy name what? Great. Great. And thou shalt be a what? Blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in all the in thee shall all the what? Family. Who is God speaking to? So in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Is this ministry? Is this ministry? Is this a calling? Okay? Is this similar to a calling of Paul?
Yes.
Now, verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and what? Lot went with him. For Lot to go with Abraham, it means Lot was not as financially independent as Abraham. Are we together? Are we together? Are we here?
Yes.
Are we here? There's a level of money you have. If you have equal with me, when they call you, they will call me. Abby? Right? So Lot went with Abraham. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Look at verse 6. Verse 5. And Abraham took his wife, Sarah, and Lot his brother's son. So was Abraham and Lot related?
Yeah.
Yeah? So can relatives be involved in the ministry activity?
Yeah,
you know, I showed you a cousin, a nephew of. Let's forget it. Yeah, and Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substances that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in where? Haran, and they went forth to go to the land of where? Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. All together. Now, if we go back to chapter 13, go to verse 12 or verse 12 or verse 10. Chapter 12, rather, verse 10. And there was famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So there was famine in the land, right? Now go to chapter 19. Why says thou she is my sister? You remember the story?
Yeah.
Abraham will say, this is not my wife, this is my sister, and everything. First, look at chapter 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the what?
South.
And Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Will Lot have been rich as well?
Yes.
Yeah. But by the influence to a large extent of who?
Abraham.
Verse 3. And he went on the journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where he stayed. Remember Bethel?
Yes.
Who had an encounter in Bethel?
Jacob.
Yeah. How many series ago? 2 months ago. 7, 8 series ago. Bethel. What's Bethel? Beith Elohim. House of God. So you see Abraham the father. So when you say I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it means I'm the God that supplies a covenant that is consistent through the generations. All together. Right? So he says, and they went to Bethel and higher. Look at verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the what? The name of the Lord. Look at verse 5. Let's start the journey. And Lot also said, which went to Abraham, Lot also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was what? Great. Right? So, Lot, by extension, Lot will now be somebody who has possession. So, substances were great, so that they could not dwell together, verse 7. And there was a strife. Are you here? There was a strife between who? The headsmen of Abraham's cattle and the headsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my husband and the husband, for we are what?
Brother.
Can that happen in the church?
Yeah.
Okay, we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt take the right, I will take the left. And love lifted up his eye and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed where? Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto where? Zoar. And Lord chose him all the plain of Jordan. That means they are going their separate ways. What is the difference between the separate ways of Abraham and Lot and Barnabas and Paul?
It's still the same
thing. They fought. Right? The major difference is that they were fighting over property and land.
Yeah.
Right? But you must see the spiritual connotation behind the scene. Paul, so what will Lot take when he's leaving Abraham? His things and his head men and his people. What will Paul and Barnabas, what will they take? People. Disciples. Okay? So keep following. And Lot chose him all the plain of Judah, verse 11, and Lot journeyed east and separated themselves one from another. Paul and Barnabas, right? And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain and pitched his tent towards where? Towards where? Towards where? Sodom. But the men of Sodom were what? Wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thy eyes and look from the place where thou art not was and sat at this foundation. For all the land where thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. When you see a work of forever being mentioned in scriptures, it is God that is going to do it. Please know that. When you see the mention of a word forever, or an activity that will have to do with forever, it is God responsible for that. So don't mix it up altogether. So the land that God will do a work regarding that will be forever is going to be the land of the Spirit. However, you would have stories pointing your attention to the supernatural or to the world of the Spirit. Yeah? We've taught that in the Salvation series, but we'll look at it again in the coming days. Okay? So, it says, I'll establish thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. And if any man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be what? Numbered. Are we together? Right? So, remember the story of Abraham going out to the stars and was counting stars. Yeah? So, don't get confused. Right? The story is not about Abraham going to the star and was counting 1, 2, 3, 4. And you now say, God, I'm tired. God will now say, you see how tired you are. Because of how tired you are, that's to show you an example of how the children will be plenty. No. Yeah? What Abraham saw, right, was a promise that the promise of what the seed will do by the resurrection. Paul will tell you in Galatians, right? He spoke not as of seed as of many, but seed as of one, which is Christ. Galatians. Are we together? Right? So, when it says, Abraham, thy seed shall be at the dust of the earth. Is that the same promise to Jacob?
Yeah.
Please, listen to what I'm teaching you today. Is that the same promise to Jacob?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Right? And it says, verse 17, arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Merim, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So what happened? Lot had his liberty, and Lot and Abraham went their separate ways. Right? Who did God call?
Abraham.
Okay. Then Lot went with. Then Lot will separate his possession from Abraham. Are we together? So Abraham will take his nephew, Lot. Who was Lot? Look at what Peter says about Lot. 2 Peter 2 verse 7. 2 Peter 2 verse 7. Second Peter chapter 2, verse what?
7.
Look at verse 5. Look at verse 4. Yeah, we'll come back to these teachings shortly. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person. A what? A preacher of what? Are you there? Second Peter 2. Are you there? Second Peter 2, 5. Look at 4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them into hell, and delivered them into the what? Chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the what? The old world, but saved Noah the eighth person. What did Peter say about Noah? A preacher of what?
Righteousness.
So when you see Peter, when you see Noah preaching, how many years did Noah preach for? 120. Right? 120. So when the Bible says that the number of days of man will be 120 years, what is that speaking about? Noah was preaching for 120 years. What was Noah preaching regarding? Righteousness. So in seeing Noah saying, enter boat, don't be thinking of cartoon. Enter boat, storm is coming, enter boat, don't be thinking of cartoon. Peter says he's a preacher of what? Righteousness. You see, you can take that summary and conclude on the entire Noah story that Noah preached the long suffering of God. Altogether. That's why Peter will now end 2 Peter chapter 3 and says, an account of the long suffering of God is salvation, even our brother, as our beloved brother Paul wrote in all his epistles. Right? So but if you look at verse 5, bringing in the flood upon the world unto the ungodly. So that means there was judgment in Noah's story. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto thee, unto those that after should live ungodly. Look at verse 7. And delivered who?
Righteous Lot,
vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Look at verse 8. For the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So who is Lot? Righteous, just Lot. Who did God call? Abraham. Who did Abraham take with him? Is that similar to Paul and Barnabas? Is that similar to Paul and Barnabas? Paul calling Barnabas with Paul, separate them for the work I've called them. What happened to Lot and Abraham? They went their separate ways. I know what I'm saying. Go back to Genesis. So Lot will grow by virtue of his relationship by default, and he becomes wealthy. Then what now happens? Strife. Offense. So there is no, let me say this, please note this in your notes. There is no relationship that is, what's the word? That is above, and there's another word I'm looking for. That is not susceptible to offense. Is that a good word?
Yeah.
Help me, thank you. There is no relationship that is above offense. There is not. Anybody, you say you've never been offended in your life, you've not lived long. And if you've lived long, you've not lived with people. There's no relationship. There's something nobody has offended. Everything everybody has done to you in your life, everything is perfect. There's no relationship that's above offense. No relationship that cannot be susceptible to offense and strife. So what now happens to Abraham and Lot? Abraham will be called. Abraham will go with Lot and all the people. Do you know that by default, the calling of God on Abraham's life will cover Abraham and his family. So if there will be a sense of security that Abraham will have, by extension, it will touch those around Abraham. Are you following?
Yeah.
But what happens? Lot will allow strife that started from what? Probably the headsmen relating. And they will go their what? Separate way. Then what now happens? Dishonor will come in. So after strife, when strife takes the center table of the room, what is next? Dishonor. Let me show you a quick example of dishonor. Look at Exodus 15 verse 20 quickly. Are you in Exodus 15 20? Exodus chapter 15. Exodus second book. Exodus 15, 20. Are you there? And Miriam the prophetess. So who is Miriam?
Prophetess.
So Miriam is a prophet. Miriam. Are we together? Prophetess Miriam, the sister of Aaron, took a timbre in her hand, and all the women went out after her timbre with dance. And Miriam answered to them, saying, sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. That's the psalm. Are we? So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they were there for 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were what? Bitter. Therefore the name of this place is called Marah. And like 24 says, and the people murmured against who?
Moses.
And saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the water was made what? Sweet. Is that a miracle?
Yeah.
That's a miracle now. A bitter water turned sweet by an activity of Moses. right? And there he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to the commandment and keep all the statutes, I will keep, put none of disease upon thee, and I'll bring them to Egypt, and every other thing. That's 27. And they came up to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 and 10 palm trees, and then camped there by the waters. Yeah? So, did the children of Israel experience the miraculous?
Yeah.
Yes, no. Okay? Look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12, 1. I'll start reading before I get it. Numbers 12, 1. Miriam and Aaron, is that, are they the same people we spoke about?
Yeah.
Miriam, who is Miriam to Aaron?
Sister.
Remember? Who is Miriam?
Prophetess.
So, Miriam and Aaron speak against who? What was Aaron and Miriam? What was Miriam doing in Exodus?
She was
praising what Moses did. What is Miriam and Aaron? What are they doing now? Right. So Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. So Moses decided to go and marry a fine woman. And they said, how will you leave this covenant? Go and marry. You know, Moses is a very interesting person. You know, part of the law that Moses would have given them is marry amongst yourself. But he will look outside the land. And say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I say, I see you in Christ. That is how some of you go and marry a believer and say, I see you in Christ. Are we together? Yeah. So, it's the marriage to me. And Miriam and Aaron were like, why will our pastor do this? Because Moses was their pastor. Are you here? And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken by us also? They said, is it only Moses that can see? Is it only Moses that can do the things of the Spirit? Yeah, I see. Everybody I see. We're all supernatural. We're all saints. Are we together? Moses, a prophet, and Miriam, a prophetess, and Aaron, possibly a prophet, did not mean that they were all with the same responsibility. The responsibility of leading people out was not given to prophetess Miriam. Are you following me? Okay? And they said, and not in this book only by Moses. Well, look at verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Who is writing it? You know, like John, when John was saying the beloved of the Lord, John will call himself the most loved of God in his book. And so people don't understand the dynamics behind it, and they say the disciple who Jesus loved the most was John, but he didn't call him to be a pastor. People in this world, be careful. Right? And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the mission. And the three came out. And the Lord came down with a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And the book came forth. And he said, verse 6, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him by a vision and speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, as the ministry of the Lord shall be. Behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Is that warning?
Yeah.
And then the Lord was speaking against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became what? Miriam became what? Leprous. What? Let me tell you something. See, could Miriam have escaped leprosy? Could Ananias have escaped death? Because it is on account of what he lied about that he died. Yeah, it's on account of what Miriam did that they got leprosy. We don't like reading this part of the Bible. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Can a pastor curse somebody and the person will be leprous? No answer. Answer in your mind. Should a pastor curse somebody?
No.
Can a pastor curse somebody? Can an unbeliever curse somebody?
Yeah.
Are we together? You see, sometimes if you are not careful about the implications of the things that we do, what will happen is we will learn lessons the hard way. Are we together? You know, the Bible will say, okay, let's leave it there. So Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was what? Leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, when we have done what? So, were they now wise to reconsider or to see what they did? They saw what they did now, right? And what did they call it? Foolishly. And wherein we have sinned. Look at verse 12. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of the mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Moses is a very solid man. I went together. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards, the people removed Hezron and Pith. So, were they in honor towards Moses before? At first, were they in honor?
Yeah.
Did they start walking in dishonor?
Yeah.
Okay. Was Lot in honor towards Abraham?
Yeah.
Did he start walking in dishonor?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. Do you suppose Ananias walked in dishonor towards Peter?
Yeah.
What would make you like your pastor is dishonor? Okay. Do you suppose that Miriam walked in dishonor towards Moses?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you suppose... So, we've seen Ananias, we've seen the implication. We've seen Miriam, we've seen the implication. We've seen Lot, we've not seen the implication. So Lot will walk in dishonor, and strife will allow that to happen, and they will go their separate ways. Go back to Genesis. There's another man that had leprosy in the Bible. What was his name? Another man that called leprosy, what was his name? Gehazi, right? What do you think happened to Gehazi?
Leprosy.
Dishonor now? One way or the other. Are we together? See, why are you seeing this example? I'm not saying tomorrow I'll start cursing people. So you say, yeah, this one, the pastor started teaching like this. Let's be ready. The pastor will come and say, I decree, based on the unction and the anointing, if I be a man of God. 7 days! No. No. But like I told you, when you see examples in the Bible, so is Miriam an example? Yes, of who not to become. Are we together? Can you be offended and not walk in dishonor?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You can guard your heart in a place to stop this switch. Go back to Lot, Genesis. Let's not go to Gehazi. Don't forget, we are reading it for our learning. We are reading it for our learning. Right? In all of these things, any question you have, take note of it and we'll address them, okay? So, we pay attention to these stories. Now, let's go back to Lot. So what's the example to get from Peter and Ananias and Sapphira?
Yeah.
Don't lie to your pastor. Okay. Your mindset towards Ananias is that, no, my pastor is a love being. Or your pastor should not say, nothing can happen. I cannot die, but little tell me of the land of living. I cannot die to the land of living. We know that. See, there's a lot to life. There's a lot to life, and that's what I'm showing you. Go to Genesis chapter 15. Or 14. And jump to where you can read. Look at verse 8. And there went out the kings of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zebulun and the king of Bela, and they joined battle with them in the valley of what? In the vale of Siddim. And all of those things. Look at verse 11, please. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all... Where did Lot go to? Genesis 14. Where did Lot go to? Towards Sodom. Remember that, right? Okay, so the war now broke out. Do you know that if a war attacks Abraham alone and a war attacks Lot alone, they will be better off fighting that war together? If at all, for any reason, one of them should be alone, it shouldn't be Lot. Is that true? Okay, so look at what happens in verse 11, verse 12. And they took Lot, kidnapped. It did not start today. Yeah, and they took who? Lot. And Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and they what? Departed. And there came one of them that escaped and told Abraham, so that means the one of the people they were supposed to capture with Lot ran away. And they went to go and tell Abraham, Master, put strife away. They've arrested they've been kidnapped. And they said you should bring ransom. Are you following? And they went to tell Abraham. What did Abraham do in verse 14? When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he what? What a heart. Did you see that? Did you see that? What did Abraham do? Genesis 14. Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servant. Are you here? He armed his trained servant born in his own house. How many? 318. And pursued them unto Dan. That's the heart of a pastor. Are you here? Do you think Abraham was happy with what happened between him and Lot? No. But Abraham will hear that Lot is in problem. What will Abraham do? I will gather all his people and go and capture a fellow saint, a fellow brother. Are you following today? Are you following today? And what now happens? And he divided himself against them. So Abraham eventually will fight war, and will Abraham capture? Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Genesis 46. Let's read together. Genesis 46, 16. 1, 2, 3, go. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods. For Abraham to be the only army, and his army to go and rescue Lot, it means that Abraham's team was very formidable. That's the team Lot left. I don't need him. I don't need that. I can do without you. Your God is my God. Don't you think that's what Lot would have been saying? Your God is my God. Who are you? Who is that mountain before Zerubbabel? My pastor has told me we have unique and intense relationship with the Father directly. That's what Lot would have said. Look at it though. For Abraham to have been able to arm his men to go and capture Lot, it means that if Lot remained with Abraham, he would never have been captured. Are you following? There are battles people fight, they don't need to fight. Now they carry Lot. They not give me water to eat. They not give me food to drink. I'm not making mistake. I know what I'm saying. They not give me clothes to shower. Right? Unnecessary fights. Where does it start from? You see, I started talking about it a few weeks ago. You see what I think? You see the Greek word called see finish. Over familiarity. Over familiarity. Let me tell you something. This thing called over familiarity can happen to anybody, including myself. We forget how it all started. See finish. We easily forget. I know this is normal because we interact with ourselves. Let me tell you something. I always tell you, the more, for instance, for your pastor, the more you keep getting close to your pastor, the better for you to know how you should be intentional about not allowing familiarity to come into the picture. Do you think Peter allowed familiarity with Jesus?
Yeah.
In the Bible, the only person that one of the people we know for that rebuked Jesus was who? Peter rebuked Jesus. The Bible says Peter took Jesus. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Peter took Jesus and rebuked Jesus. Peter. Do you understand? You read it to be like, you didn't know where you started from. We're talking about Peter. The mother of Jesus and the father of Jesus rebuked Jesus. Are you forgetting? Luke 2. The Bible says that they saw Jesus in the temple and they say, where have you been? Have you forgotten?
No.
Remember now? They say, where have you been? And Jesus said, you are looking for me. See, what you don't see is that the Bible says that they journeyed for a full day before they realized Jesus was not with them. Go to Luke 2. This day, I don't like saying this, but look at your Bible. Look at Luke 2. Caring parents, most caring. See how they are shouting now. Where have you been? Where have you been? Look at Luke 2. Verse 43. Look at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem as the custom is for festive. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus what? Waited behind. Are you there?
Yes.
Luke 2:43. The child Jesus waited behind, and Joseph's mother did not know. Imagine. I don't think they had other children at this point though. Well, I don't think. Except I'm missing something. And how old was the boy?
12.
And they said they did not know. Look at verse 44.
But they supposing him to have been in the company, can you see the assumption? They thought Jesus is not around us. They thought he was around the company. They went a day's journey. You know what a day's journey is? They didn't have, there's no Omar Jibo. They were walking for a day. At least you should be tired of the person. Why is that my son? Let's assume you don't even care for him in love. Yeah? And he said, ah, for a full day's journey. And there's something among the kids found out that they said, ah, we have found him not. And they turned back to Jerusalem. And it came to pass after 3 days. So for 3 days, they were not with their son. They now found him in the earth, and they heard and all of those things. And they asked him, and when they saw him in verse 48, they were amazed that his brother said to him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Beyond your father, I saw thee. You would have thought it was genuine, this thing. And they stood the same. And so you see that these are the same people who angel visited. Wait, I hope you know that when Moses, Mary will give birth to Jesus, there was no intercourse with Joseph. A mother would, imagine a mother gives birth to a child, no father in the picture. I think that record should be in your heart. And that child, angel had to come into the picture to say, you would be pregnant, the child you have is not normal. Years of familiarity. I mean, they gave Jesus food. Jesus peed in pants. You thought they were saying, you thought when Jesus was peeing, he was going to heaven. You thought Jesus left his intestine in heaven. There was just the body in the air. What do you call that system? The system, digestive system. When he eats, they digest it in the heaven. Then they pass it to the toilet for him. Jesus went to the toilet. Jesus cried. They were spanking. They carried Jesus out of church. They took Jesus out of church. They said, Jesus, shh. Then Jesus, shh, will you come up? The Lord and Savior. And because they had done that over time, they forgot angel visited them. Over familiarity. So we need to remind ourselves. We need to re-echo these things. What do they have expected? So love became familiar with Abraham. Over familiarity. It's only familiarity that will make Miriam to be able to say those kind of things to Moses. Over time, we've been in ministry together. I see the way he eats. He's like dog. He is very fast. He is like someone that, like, he's like, you know, some people, they say they eat like ruminant animal. No, I'm trying to be very direct. You know what ruminant animal is? The ones that chew food and put it in their stomach. Then when they are hungry again, they bring out again and they chew it. The human being like that. And I can tell you for free, your pastor can be like that. I don't mean me. But even if you see all those things, over familiarity. That's why sometimes you don't. Some pastors, they do it for the sake of their members. They always want to be prime and proper. You know your boundary. Sometimes it's pride, but sometimes it helps you as a saint. Are you with me? So Lot was taken captive in Genesis 14. Go to Genesis 18. Let me show you something. Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Merit, right? And he sat in the tent door at the heat of the day, and lifted up his eyes, behold, and three men stood. Right? And said, my Lord. So you need to read Genesis 13, 14, 15. If we read 17, verse 1, Abraham was 90 years old. Right? Lord appeared to him, walk before me, and make covenant with you. There was time I see the same covenant being re-echoed. I'll make the same fruitful in verse 6, chapter 17, verse 18, chapter 18 now. Look at verse 4 and verse 3. And said, my Lord, if now I have found people in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And Abraham hastened, verse 6, into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, and knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham went unto the head, and fetched the calf tender, and what made meal, and all of those things. Now look at verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, and were stricken in age, and he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Is that barren? Yeah? Right? And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Blah, 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 blah. You keep reading. Verse 20, and the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now. So that means God is saying there is judgment coming to Sodom. Who will you find in Sodom? Lot. Okay? Go to Genesis 19, for our time's sake. Genesis 19, verse 30. Genesis 19, verse 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning and placed where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and towards the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up in smoke of the furnace. And it came to pass, verse 29, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. So why was Lot rescued from the midst of the overthrow? Still they read. That means Lot, even though Lot went of his separate ways, he fought what he should not have fought. But he still had a blessedness because of his relationship with Abraham. And look at it now. He said, it came to pass in verse 29, God destroyed the city of the plain. That means, and God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the city in which Lot dwelt. And look at verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, which is who? Are you following me? Verse 30, which is what? With his two daughters with him, and they feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave. He and his two daughters. Remember, his wife will not be with them. Why will his wife not be with them? She has turned to what? Right? And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man. See, listen. Who is the firstborn? That means the first daughter. He said unto the second daughter, our father is old, and there's not a man on the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come now, let's make our father drunk. Yeah, let's give Popsy correct wine. Is that not your Bible? Yeah? Let's give Popsy correct what?
Wine.
Are you there?
Yes.
Right? Let's make father drink and we will lie with him. They wanted to sleep with their father. They wanted to. Then they eventually did. Okay? Right? So let's lie with him. And now, do you think what their intention was can sound logical? Do you think what was their intention?
To preserve
their seed. Preserve their generational name. To keep their surname. What we call keep their surname. So you look at it and the passive that little and they live with that. Where are we? Verse 3. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in. And they lived with their father. Who is the father? Lot, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. What a man. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, that means the next day, behold, you know, yesterday night was for me. And let's make daddy drink again this night so that you go with him this night so that we can preserve. If their real intention was to preserve the seed, was one not enough? Two daughters. Look at 35. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and they perceived not that she lay with her, and she arose. Then when both of daughters of Lot with child by what?
Their father.
That means their father had two children for his two daughters. Please, this is where I'm going to. And the firstborn what? Bare son, and they called his name. So this is where Moab started from. Are you with me? How did Moab come into place? Lot's children slept with Lot. How did they get to the point where Lot's children were looking for how to sleep with their father? Lot left Abraham. Are you following me? I'm going to show you something. Lot left Abraham. Lot left Abraham, and it had a ripple effect. Then Lot will give birth to a child in another land, far off away from Abraham. See, for you to see this happen again, it means that even when Abraham rescued Lot, Lot still wanted his independence. Are we together? Are you not here? The Moabites. So Moabite started from this narrative. So how did the Moabite become a people?
History is strife. Are you following me today? Are you following me today? Now look at verse 30. What verse are we again? 37. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. And the same is the father of the... Look at what it says there. The same is the what? The father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger son also bare a son and called his name what? Ben-Ami. The same is the father of children of Ammon unto this day. Are you listening to me? So, from that moment, you see in verse 37, it tells you that Moabites are a people. Is that not true? For him to become the father of the Moabites, it means that Moabites were a people. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 8. Hope you are following today. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Chapter 2, verse 8, sorry. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand, and knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness, these 40 years, the Lord thy God has been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing. And when we pass by from the brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain of Elath and Ezion Gabbah, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of who? Wilderness of who? Moab. So wilderness of Moab, will it be the wilderness of the people of Moab?
Yeah.
I will follow it, right? And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites. So God gave an instruction to the Israelites, don't disturb the Moabites. Is that your Bible?
Yeah.
Is that your Bible?
Yeah.
Watch what is happening though. So do you suppose there was enmity between the Moabites and the Israelites?
Yeah.
And look at him, continue now. He says, and the Lord said, distrust not the Moabites. If there's no enmity between them, there's no need to warn them. Don't touch them. Are you following? He says, neither contend with them in battle. The only reason why you want to by default see a reason to contend with the Moabites is because they're your enemies. But the Shulchan will say, do not come back with them. Right? He says, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession. Where did Moabites start from? Lot and his first daughter. Because I have given heirs to the children of Lot for a possession, and any dwell therein in time past, a people great and many tall and Anakim, which also were counted giants as the Anakim, but the Moabites called them what? Enemies. Are you there? Verse 12. And the Haran also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead. And Israel did unto the land of his possession which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Shered. Brook Shered. And we went over the brook Shered. And the space in which we came to Kadesh Barnea until we were come over to the brook of Zerah was 38 years. You see that, John? This was not a day with the Lord, it's 2,000 years old. 38 years unto the generation of the men of war were wasted from all among the Lord of hosts. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass that when all men of war were consumed and dead among people, that the Lord had been saying, thou art to pass over through Ar and coast of where? Moab this day. Look at verse 19, we're together, 1, 2, 3, go. And when thou 1, 2, 3, go, Deuteronomy 2:19. And when thou comest near over against the children of Ammon, distrust them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee a land of the children of Ammon any possession before I have given it to the children of Lot for a
possession.
So who's Ammon? The second, yeah, remember that story, yeah? Ben-Ami. Remember that story, right? So there was enmity between Israel and the nation, and every time Israel will be warned against the Moabites. Listen carefully. Israel will be warned against the Moabites not to fight them and be warned against who?
Ammon.
Are we together? So go back to Ruth. So there was a widow and a daughter-in-law. Before you go to Ruth, go to Genesis 49. We'll come back to Genesis 49 in the next 2 weeks. But let me show you something quickly in Genesis 49, verse 8. Do you remember Abraham? Do you remember Abraham?
Yes.
Do you remember Isaac?
Yes.
Who is Abraham to Isaac? Son is the Isaac is the son to Abraham. Who is the son to Isaac?
Jacob.
Jacob. Who is the son to Jacob? Okay. Yeah, you remember? Joseph, Benjamin, Reuben, Judah. So we'll come back to this story. But look at Genesis 49, verse 8. Remember, Jacob, look at verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said unto them, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Is that a prophet, Jacob?
Yes.
Gather yourselves, hear yourselves together. Now look at verse 1, verse 3. Reuben, thou art my what? Firstborn, my might and beginning of my what?
Strength.
The excellency of dignity and the excellence of power. Unstable as what? Look at verse 5. Simeon and Levi are what?
Brethren.
So Levi and Simeon, brethren, instrument of cruelty. Verse 6. O my soul, come not thou into thy secret unto the assembly my honor. Please go to verse 8 for our time. Are you in verse 8?
Yes.
Judah, thou art what? He whom thy brethren. So this is the word that Jacob will say to Judah, and Judah will become the head of the people of Bethlehem, Judah, in Ruth chapter 1. Are you following?
Yeah.
Are you following? Look at what Jacob says about Judah. He says, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of what? Your enemies, and your father's children shall bow down before thee. Look at verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Judah is a lion's whelp. For the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stood down, his couches as a lion and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. So, Jacob had already said that the scepter will not depart from Judah. That means God is doing a work on the earth. Are we together? God is doing a work on the earth that ideally will start from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The next set of people will be who? Judah. Okay, go to Ruth 1. So, Naomi's great-great-great-grandfather with her husband is who? The man Judah, in whom the scepter shall not depart from. Are you following me? Look at Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of the family of who? Elimelech, and his name was who? So Boaz came into the picture. So where is Boaz from? Where is Boaz from now? Bethlehem, Judah. That's Judah, right? Right? And Ruth the who?
Moabite
said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned the field of after the reaper, and had, and her harp was to light on a part of the field belonging to who? Boaz, who was the kindred of who? Elimelech. Are you following? And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reaper, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, saying, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? So Boaz saw a fine girl. All together. Where is the fine girl from? Is that the fine girls that love? You know, we are so unserious in our generation. These are the fine girls that love Boaz. Yeah, so. And behold, Boaz came. Now, look at verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from where? Bethlehem. And said unto the reapers, the Lord God be with you. And the Lord bless you. And Abraham, and Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers. Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel. Is that your Bible? That came back with who?
Yeah.
Naomi. So they made sure that Boaz will know that this girl is not from here. She's from Ethiopia. Amen. She's from Ethiopia. Okay? So he said, if Moabite doesn't come and Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me clean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had continued even from the morning until now, that she tied a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another's field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. let their eyes be on the field. I want you to guard my field. Just like that. And they do, and that guard on the field that do reap, and go down after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art a test, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drunk. What is she supposed to say? Instruct her, sir. Abi, look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face and she bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thy eye, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. That means I've heard of your story. Is that not true? And how thou left thy father and thy mother and the land and the city, and came to my people which knowest not before. He said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art what? Come to trust. Then she said, let me find people in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handsmaid, though I be not like one of thy handsmaid. And Boaz said unto her, at new time, come thou hither, and what? Let's eat bread. Let's break bread. And dip thy moss in what? The vinegar. He was taking vinegar for his wanted to lose weight. And she sat beside the reaper, and he reached her what? Parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up from the glen, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of her handful of bubbles for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and bit out what she was gleaning. And she took it up in verse 18 and went to the city. And her mother-in-law saw her, that she had gleaned, and she said, ah, she did to her, she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where have you gleaned today? And where wottest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought it, and the name of the man was what? Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he the Lord, who had not left of his kindred to the living of the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us. That means our relative. Is that true? Mm-hmm. One of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said also unto me, thou shalt keep fast my young men until they have ended all my harvest. That means he gave me oversight. He made me general overseer. Right? And Naomi said unto Ruth, our daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with thy handmaiden, and the meat they not in any field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the evening, unto the end of the barley harvest, and wheat, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, verse 3, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? What is the rest he's seeking for? Let's read, that it may be well with you. And now it's not Boaz our kindred, with whose maiden thou was. Behold, he went out barely night and dwelt. Watch thyself therefore, verse 3. Anoint yourself and put thy raiment upon thee. That means go and bow, go and shower, put perfume. Go and bow, go and shower, put perfume. And get thee down on the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he has done eating and what? Drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and what? Remove his shoe. And lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. I said unto thee, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. That's instructed man. What a daughter-in-law. Instructed man. Oh my goodness. And she went down to the floor and did according to her mother-in-law's said. And Boaz had eaten, and he was drunk, and his heart was merry. And he went to lie down. Lot is coming back again. Lot. Went to lie down at the head of the heap of the corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it came past at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, the woman at his feet, and said, ah, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth thy handmaid. That means I'm the one you made CEO. Right? He says, I am Ruth thy handmaid. He says, spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near what? Kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou, Lord, my daughter. He still called her my daughter. Hello, gracious Father. For thou hast shown more kindness in the later end than in the beginning. And now, my daughter, fear not. Yeah, like utterance. I will do to thee all that thou request, for all city of people don't know that thou art a virtuous woman. Look at verse 14. And she laid down at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know. And he said, let it be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And she held a mixture of six measures of barley. And verse 16, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, ah, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all the man had done. And she said, this three scripture mentioned, whatever, verse 18. And she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished thing this day.
That means, you see, when you pray for the man that will help you, you see, come restless until you help me. Chapter 4. Then went Boaz up unto the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kingdom of God came and said, of whom he said, oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here, and turn aside, sit down. Right, verse 3. And said unto the king of Naomi, this is come again on the country of Moab. Select a parcel of land which was a brother Elimelech. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of what? Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to raise up a name of the dead upon the what? Inheritances. Verse 7. Now this was a matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For what? Are you there? For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. Therefore, the king's man said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto other people, ye are witnesses this, they have bought all with what? That was Elimelech's. And all that was Chilion's and Malion's. Remember Chilion and Malion's? The sons of Naomi, right? Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Malion, I have purchased to be what? That means I have paid the price. I have purchased with my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut among the brethren, and from the gate of this place here I witness to you. That means he's taking her as a wife. Cut the long story short, go to verse 17. Verse 14. And the message to Naomi, blessed be thou, Lord, for thou hast left the day without a king's man, in all the famous Israel. And he shall, verse 15, be unto thee, restorer of thy life, in the nourisher of thy old age. Verse 16. And Naomi took the child, right? That means Naomi took the child and laid it on her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, so that means Ruth gave birth. Are you following? Ruth gave birth. Now watch very well. And the woman and neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name what? Obed. Who is Obed? Who is Obed? The father of Jesse. Who is Jesse? So did God's plan come back to Judah?
Yeah.
Ah, David eventually will be a one after God's heart. Are you following? So did you see the relationship now restored? How did the relationship get restored? How did the relationship break? Lot. There is much more to your relationships with other men than meets the eye. There are relationships like Abraham. So God had a plan. Right? Remember, don't forget though, Jacob, who is the father of Judah, was one who had an elder brother, Esau. Am I right? Amen?
Yeah.
Isaac's children was what? Jacob, Esau and Jacob. Who was older? Esau. But who was the one that took over the inheritance? Jacob. Why? According to the election, God had had a plan from time. Who ideally should take over Jacob? So it's supposed to be God of Abraham, Isaac. Let's assume Jacob. Okay, let's say Abraham, Isaac, Esau. But it became Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But it's supposed to be, let's assume, okay, Jacob has passed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Reuben. But it became Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. Then Judah will have a people. Then Naomi will what? You see, all of these things got restored by the actions of Naomi. Not just Naomi, Ruth. Ruth said, your people will be my people. And the moment Ruth, a Moabite, came into relationship with someone from Judah, they produced Obed, that produced Jesse, that produced David. Guess what? That produced Jesus. So Jesus now came from the lineage that was broken, that was restored by Ruth, restored by Naomi. How many relationships have not been restored? How many things, how many kingdoms and territories would have been conquered with the Lord remaining with Abraham? And not allowing strife to happen. Yes, there will be relationships that will come back together. But there will be lots of relationships that will not come back together. Why? Because man is involved. Are you following? So Ruth will now be mentioned in the... Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Let me wrap up here. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Let me tell you something. God's plan on the earth is tied to relationships with men. God's plan on the earth is tied to relationships with men. It's tied to men.
God will do anything God wants to do on the earth, he will do it through men. Even for the salvation of the souls of the lost, he came as a man. Are we together? Look at Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 1. The book of generation of Jesus Christ. You know that if Ruth had not given birth to a child for who was it? Boaz. Even if there will be another man called David, it will not be the David we know. So Ruth will give birth for Boaz. They will call the name Obed. But in giving birth to Obed, that's the beginning of the recognition of the relationship that broke in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, because of offense and strife. We're reading in Ruth, do you know how many generations apart? And God will tell the Israelites, well, now, does it not make sense why there's an instruction not to destroy the Moabites? Because if they are fed the Moabites, you will not have. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
You will not have the Ruth. You will not have the. You will not. Naomi and the husband, they will not have a Moab to go and visit and say they want to live there. Because Moab would have been long forgotten. And God will say, well, imagine if. See, the leading of the Spirit, it is Saturday. Imagine if Israel just said, these people, they're so small, let us conquer them and put them in our pocket. But they gave the instruction for Lot's possession. So even at Lot's departure, there was still a plan to bring it back. So you are a plan in God's big picture. Right? Look at Matthew chapter 1. This is the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of who? The son of David. Are you there?
Yeah.
Abraham, the son of David. So, can you see David is now referred to, Jesus is referred to as the son of David. And he's also referred to as the son of Abraham. Is it in your Bible?
Yeah.
Are you there? Matthew 1. Are you there, saints?
Yeah.
Look at Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Matthew 1:1. The son of who?
David.
The son of who?
Abraham.
So is Jesus called the son of Abraham? Is he called the son of David? As at the point where Lot and Abraham were going their separate ways, what name were they trying to, what name was going to be altered in the future? When Abraham and Lot, so we call Jesus son of Abraham, son of David. When Abraham and Lot were having their strife and they went their separate ways, right? What name would have been altered from being called, Jesus would not be called what name?
Abraham.
Or phrase, son of who? David. Because David would not have come into the picture. Are you here? So the son of Abraham, let me also ask you a question. Let's assume that Abraham heard that they captured Lot and Abraham said, good for him. Do you think Abraham would have been happy that Lot and his... Abraham called him and said, our mates are fighting. Don't let this affect us. Lot will say, I see. For the Lord that is with me. And Abraham, they will say, capture Lot. Lot will go and rescue him. Imagine if Abraham did not rescue Lot. Can you see? Let me tell you, please note this in your notes. God still walks in the middle of the. What's the word? There's a word I'm looking for. Despite the. What's this word given to man? When man is not stable. I got it. God still walks in the midst of men, regardless of their imperfection. That's it. Man is always God's plan. God will still walk in the midst of men regardless of their imperfection. Regardless of the imperfection of men. Guess what? Guess what? Moabite became a people by the daughter of a man sleeping with his father. With her father. Abi? Moabite became a people by the daughter of a man sleeping with her father. Is that not imperfection? Lot will leave Abraham and Lot will be captured towards Sodom and Abraham will go and rescue Lot. What a heart of a pastor. What a heart of a leader. Are we together? Timothy will say, bring Mark. He is profitable to me. Are you here? And Paul rather. Moses after the leprosy, Bible will say Moses will pray to God. So he says, this is the book of the Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who?
Abraham. We'll look at David in the coming days. David and Saul is our next storyline. Amen? Mm-hmm. David and Saul, a lot to learn there. Right? Right? And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob became what? Began what? Why didn't the Bible say Reuben and his brethren? Are you following? Right? And Abraham and Jacob began what? Judah. So Judas, they mix it up. Yeah? And his brethren. So this Judas is not the one that betrayed him more. This one was not alive. Amen? And Judas began Perez and Zara.